I'll just say mine. You know, there's a lot of things about Christmas that I remember, a lot of little stories and a lot of different things. And one that kind of stands out in my mind is the church we grew up in, Memorial Baptist. My brother pastored there for quite a while, 20-some-odd years. And every Christmas we had a program, what do you call it, a play. I couldn't think of the word, a play. And, you know, Alma Foley was the one that conducted it. And we always, you know, she would incorporate anybody that wanted to be in it. She'd find somewhere and somehow for you to be a part. And I always looked forward to that. There was something about that. It was just always a lot of fun as a kid. And come play night, you know, our attendance was always double or triple what it would normally be. And it was just a big deal for the church. I remember one particular one that kind of stood out in my mind. It was the first one that my daughter, Shanna, was old enough to have a little part in. She was like 7. And so she had a little part. She was one of the little girls in it. And so we was getting ready to practice. And after church, we all went out to eat and that kind of thing. Then we'd come back and begin to practice, you know, on that given day. And it was the day of, you know, the day of it all. We always did on a Sunday night. It was the day of it. And I come back after eating, and I had forgotten that she was with me. And I come back after eating. She was sitting on the outside front porch steps, just sitting there. And I pulled up, and she's like, "Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad." And I thought, of all the things to forget, you know, my goodness. But Alma stayed and watched her and took care of her. But it was just kind of funny, you know, that I would forget such a thing as that. But I remember that Christmas just because of that incident, and it just really stands out. But those plays were always so special to me. And I always appreciated them, appreciated the work and the effort she put into them. And she was always a very special lady to us, and just miss her. And I miss that time together. I'm going to read from John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, but I'm actually going to preach from John chapter 8 and verse 12. But in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we've been dealing with John chapter 1 the last couple of weeks, but it says, "In him was life, the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Jesus Christ is that light. And I think we all understand and we all know that. And in John chapter 8 and verse 12 is where I actually want to kind of go to and take a look. Because in John chapter 8 and verse 12, we see the second I am of Jesus Christ. And when I say the second I am, he says, "I am the I am." And so it tells us clearly he is the Jehovah. And he says this, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Here's what he was doing. I'm going to take you back to Jerusalem for just a moment, during the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus turned a rite that traditionally occurred at this feast, where they had four lights that sat in the court of the women in the temple. And these lights would be lit. And as they would light these things, it was such a big deal for them as they celebrated this feast. They would light those and people would gather around. They would have torches in their hands that were burning. And each of them, they would have a big time of celebration. I mean, they'd literally sing and dance the night away, if you would. And so what would happen is this, is they would all sing songs and they would praise God all just way up into the wee hours of the night. Not only that, but they would even have the Levitical orchestra come out. The Levites had their trumpets and all their different instruments, and they would come out and they'd be playing music. And man, this was just a time not just to celebrate a day, but to celebrate their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, to celebrate God, I should say, in their terminology. But what Jesus did was he turned it around for them and let them understand what they were really celebrating, because they were celebrating a feast that they had always known, a celebration that they had been raised with. And he let them in on a very important truth. He's saying, by the way, just so you know, these lights and all that's taking place, I am that light. In reality, they were celebrating Jesus the Messiah, and they didn't even know that's what they were celebrating. And so he turned all of that around to let them know, I am the light of the world, so that they would understand that what they were truly celebrating was what God would do through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the Old Testament indicates the coming age of Messiah. And that would be the age we have not yet even reached yet, the kingdom age. And in that time, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 19 and 20 talks of that and talks about Jesus being the light of that age. He says, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. And then he says in verse 20, thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be to thine everlasting light, and the days of the morning shall be ended. So what we see in Revelation is a fulfillment of even that prophecy of Isaiah, talking about the fact that Jesus Christ will be the light of the world, literally. And we're talking even in a physical sense that he will light the world beyond the sun and what the moon does for us today. The Old Testament teaches that Jesus is also a light unto the Gentiles. And this one's talking more of a spiritual light. Where that was a physical light, this is more of a spiritual light. And he says in Isaiah 42:6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, will hold thine hand, will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. So what happens here is he's giving them some understanding that, listen, all these things you've heard all your life, you need to understand that they're coming to pass in him, in Jesus Christ. And so he's extending a very clear indication that he is the light of that prophecy. And he is the light of the prophecies of all the Old Testament. In John 8:12, which is what we've just read, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Now I want to notice just a few things about this. Take a little bit of time just to talk about Jesus being the light. Because I think we need to be able to see it in our day and see it in our time. You know, as we sit here tonight and we're holding our candles, we realize and know that it represents Jesus Christ. He is our light. And this is the light that we shine to all the world. Our lives are like this candle. It pierces the darkness. Our lives should be a light unto a lost people. You know, there's no need for anyone to ever walk in darkness. He says that there is no one. There's no limitation to who may partake in that light. I am the light of the world, not of a select few, not of just a chosen nation, not of just some. I am the light of the world. And so what we find is every person, everyone, has the ability to receive this light. And there's absolutely no need for anyone to walk in darkness. To walk in darkness is due to willful disobedience or willful ignorance. Romans 1:18 says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which it may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know, there are no excuses whatsoever for anyone to walk in darkness. It's something that they choose. It's a willful thing. Everyone has the ability to see and to know Jesus Christ. You know, one day every individual is going to stand before the true light. There will be none, not one person that will be able to say, well, I didn't know. I had no idea. I didn't realize that was the truth. I didn't realize that it wasn't a myth. I didn't realize it wasn't a fable. Not one person will be able to do that. And we understand, we know we've been talking about John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. We've been dealing with it. But in verse 9, he says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What a passage. That lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Not some. Not a select few, every man. So the light, Jesus Christ, is something that has been revealed, someone who has been revealed to each and every person, so that not one person is without excuse. Now, I got to tell you, Satan makes every effort he can to hide the light. You know, we sing the little song, this little light of mine, let shine, let shine, let shine. You know the verse, won't let Satan blow it out. You know, there's more truth in that than what we might realize. Because Satan makes every effort to hide the gospel, makes every effort to keep it hidden from others. But he tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, but if our gospel be hid, It's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, something that I've often said, I don't hear this said very much, and I don't mean to sound like it's just absolute doctrine or anything like that, but I think the bigger problem is not so much people not receiving or not accepting Christ as it is the problem in what they actually do is rejecting. Because he shines to all the world. Every person sees that light. Every person has the ability to see that light and to know that light. What they have to do is literally reject it. We know that in John chapter 3 when he says they choose darkness over light. So what happens is not so much do I accept that or do I receive that, so much as am I going to reject that and have nothing to do with it. Because every person sees and has an opportunity to be a part of that light. But what Satan does is he'll disguise it. And he'll make them think they're the smart ones for rejecting it. You know, it's kind of that way in our world today. They make people think that because we believe and trust in the things that God has given us, that we're the foolish ones. Oh, he's just our crutch. He's just something we've made up, something we have to lean on. The smart ones don't need God. But see, it's that old turning good into evil, or turning good to evil and evil to good. It's that whole concept that they've bought into. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness." And that's what they do. Those things that we know to be light, the world thinks is foolishness and wants nothing to do with it. And they've replaced it with darkness. And Satan uses that as a tool to kind of mislead folks and to hide the true light from them. You know, all who fail to follow him walk in darkness. That's hard for us sometimes, isn't it? He says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." So what that tells me is those that don't follow him walk in darkness. Let me tell you why that's such a hard thing. It's because we all probably know people that are really good people. In fact, I know people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior that are phenomenal people as far as just being nice guys, doing things for us. Far better than many Christians I know, and will do far more for me than many Christians I know. I'll just give you an example. My next door neighbor, you won't find a nicer guy than my next door neighbor. In fact, he mows my grass for me because he knows I'm an old man, you know. He mows my grass for me. If it snows, he shovels my drive. I don't have to do anything. He does it all. Nice guy. Anytime they've got, you know, they grill out, or if they're going to do something out in the backyard or something, they always invite us over. They love us. We love them. Great people. And as far as just being nice people. But the sad thing is he wants nothing to do with Jesus Christ. I've shared with him a couple of times. I've shared with him every opportunity I get. But he wants nothing to do with it. And you know, it's hard to imagine, but like it or not, he's walking in darkness. Amen. Boy, it's hard to see sometimes, but he's walking in darkness. Because it's not about our works. It's about trusting Jesus Christ. You know, there are only two options. You can follow him and have the light. We're clearly taught the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So follow him and have the light. You can go your own way and walk in darkness. Proverbs 14:12, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And a lot of folks think it's okay. I've even talked to Christians. I think it's okay for a young person to, what we call in my day, sow their wild oats. Maybe it was actually before my day, but regardless, that's what we called it. And they think that's perfectly acceptable and that's perfectly okay. Folks, I'm here to tell you that we need to train them up even as a child. Amen. That they might know the truth, that they might know the light, that they might realize that their only hope is in Jesus Christ. It's an important thing for them to see because we are going to be held accountable. Ecclesiastes 11:9, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let the heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." You know, Ecclesiastes is one of those interesting books because it's a tough one to study because if you're not careful, you'll look at it as though God's saying, do these things. When in reality, the book of Ecclesiastes is a book about man's wisdom. It's a book about the way man chooses and the direction man wants to go, whereas you see God's wisdom in the book of Proverbs. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, very often he does give us some little clues. Hey, wait a minute. Understand that this is almost like we would use sarcasm today. Keep in mind that this is what man thinks is good, but you need to realize that though you can make those choices because God has given you the ability to choose, understand and know that there is a penalty involved. And know that there is a judgment. And know that you'll have to stand for those things. So keep in mind that we are to be a light. We don't want to walk in darkness. We want to walk in light. We are that light. And we need to let the world see this in us. You know, eternity without Jesus Christ is very dark. One of the descriptions of the eternal lake of fire is outer darkness. Amen. Man, that's a tough thing. And I think, why is it called outer darkness? Let me tell you why. Jesus is not there. It's a separation from God. You see, all good things come from God. He tells us he is the light. In that new earth he's talking about, earlier, that new earth, God is the light. It's not the sun, not the moon. God's the light. When we live totally in his presence, when all things are the way that he would have them to be, he is the light. Keep in mind that the sun and moon weren't even made yet when light appeared in creation. Where do you think that light came from? So what we find is God is the light. So you separate yourself from God and you have no light. So what he's saying is eternity without Christ. It's called outer darkness because Christ is not there. It's apart from him. We who have the Spirit of God within us, we need to reflect that true light. It says in Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bush, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, Paul makes this really clear as well, by the way. Regarding fellowship, 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What is he saying? We are the light. And we need to fellowship with the light, not with the world, not with evil things. Regarding our daily walk, Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. There is an interesting part of this that jumps out at me. It doesn't say you were sometimes in darkness. It says you were sometimes darkness. You were the darkness. Man, when we're talking about sin, I mean, we were the darkness. When we walked in sin, when we were sinners, when we were without Jesus Christ, not washed, not cleansed by his blood, we walked in darkness, but we not only walked in darkness, but we were darkness. When Jesus Christ took sin upon him on the cross, he didn't just take upon him sin, he became sin for us. Wow, what a picture. Do we not realize sometimes just how horrifying sin really is? Just the least little bit of sin in our life hurts fellowship with God. So our fellowship and our daily walk need to be what God would have to be. And not only that, but even deception. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-5, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness. So we're not easily deceived if we walk in light. We're able to see the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge. The last thing I want you to see is this, and this is the simple one. The only true light is Jesus. Now, I know that goes without saying for each and every one of us, but I think sometimes we forget that or we don't live as though we believe that. He says, but shall have the light of life, not a light of life, as though it's among many, but the light of life, because there's one and only. You know, sometimes, and you will even hear professing Christians and church leaders that will sometimes say, well, it's not just Jesus. These other guys, they have a hope in the things that they believe and teach. We just think it's Jesus. Well, no, I'm here to tell you, there's only one light, and that's Jesus. There's not many ways. There's one way. And the only way is Jesus. And we find in our text that Jesus is not described as a light, but the light. And so I realize that though there are a lot of people that think there are a lot of different methods to heaven, understand that there's, according to truth, there's really only one. So the Bible's pretty emphatic that we are illuminated. We have that light. We are able to see and have that wisdom and have that understanding through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we find true wisdom and understanding and true salvation only through Jesus Christ. So anything that contradicts God, anything that contradicts the Word, anything that contradicts this truth is darkness. Folks, we need to see that and we need to know that. That's not to say I can't be friends with somebody, but be quite honest with you, there's a degree of fellowship I can't share because we don't have something in common that's very important, and that's Jesus Christ. I love my next door neighbor. He's a great guy. I love his girlfriend. She's really a nice lady. But I have to tell you, they need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we need never to forget that. And we need also never get so overcome with how good, how nice a person is that we forget they need to hear about Jesus. Amen. And they need to know Him as their Lord and Savior. So don't be fooled. You can be educated. You can have a lot of common sense. You can be pretty affluent. You can be reasonable. You can be well respected by other people. You can be well read. You can be very talented. You can hold a position of authority. But I'm here to tell you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you'll spend eternity in darkness. That's right. You don't have the true light. Tonight, we are going to do an invitation because I just think it's important to do that. As we're sitting here with our candles, let it be a reminder to you, not only that Jesus Christ is the light, but we are to be a light to the world, to let them see and to let them know about Jesus Christ, to let them hear the truths about His Word, to let them know, listen, your only hope, it's found in Jesus Christ. He is the true light, and He is the only one that can light the hearts of men. And without Him, there is nothing but darkness. There is no hope. The one thing I often share with my neighbor, and he honestly says, I just don't know, is what hope do you have when you leave this world? What hope do you have when you leave this world? And he says, I just don't know. Bow your heads with me, if you would, for just a moment. Dear Father, I pray that tonight you'll help us to see and help us to know not only that you are the true light, but Father, that we also might be able to shine unto the people around us. Lord, that they might be able to see you through us. Lord, I pray for my neighbor. I pray that they'll come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray for everybody I come in contact with. I pray, Lord, that I'll be a light to every waitress, to every cashier, to every person I come in contact with. Lord God, let me be a light to them that they might see Jesus Christ in me. Lord God, thank you for all you do. Tonight I pray that you'll convict our hearts, that we'll leave here not only with a knowledge of you and understanding of who you are, Lord, that we'll also be that light that you would have us to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray.